بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم ما بعد continuing with the chapter on إخلاص sincerity عن أم المؤمنين أم عبد الله عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يغزو جيش الكعبة فإذا كانوا ببيداء من الأرض يخسف بأولهم وآخرهم قالت قلت يا رسول الله كيف يخسف بأولهم وآخرهم وفيهم أسواقهم ومن ليس منهم قال يخسف بأولهم وآخرهم ثم يبعثون على نياتهم متفق عليه هذا لفظ البخاري. The narrator of this hadith is أم المؤمنين, that is the mother of the believers, عائشة رضي الله عنها. Before we translate this hadith, a little bit background with regards to عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها. As we are well aware, she is one of the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, that is the mothers of the believers, concerning whom all the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, Ya Nisa al-Nabi, lastunnaka ahadim min al-Nisa. That, O wives of the Prophet, there are no other women like you. That is the maqam and status which Allah Ta'ala granted to the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was such that they were elevated above the rest of the women of the Ummat. And we find particularly with Aisha radiallahu anha that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked that who is the person that he loves the most, we find the mafhum of the hadith that he indicated that it was Aisha radiallahu anha. She was given the dignity and the honor that she said, Mata fi nahri wa sahari, that Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away when his head was leaning between the chin and the chest of Aisha radiallahu anha. He was leaning on her when he passed away. And it is said that the last thing that entered the mouth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prior to his demise, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the practice of using the miswak. And Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in that weakness, he was looking towards the miswak. So Aisha radiallahu anha says that I took the miswak and I softened it. And thereafter I placed it in the mouth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when she softened it, her saliva entered the miswak. So the last thing that entered the mouth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before he left this world was the saliva of Aisha radiallahu anha. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made nikah with her in Makkah Mukarrama, and she went to live with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the second year of Hijrah, that is when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Medina Munawwara in the month of Shawwal. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, she was 18 years of age. She lived for another 40 years. And Aisha radiallahu anha herself passed away in the 58th year of Hijrah. She was known for her piety, for her generosity, and she used to free a lot of slaves. And it was her Mubarak practice that every year Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha would perform Hajj. 2,210 ahadith are narrated from Aisha radiallahu anha, of which 174 are found in Bukhari and Muslim. So we find that after Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the second highest narrator of hadith was Aisha radiallahu anha. And after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, such was the intelligence, which we will see in this hadith also when we translate, that many, many sahaba used to go to her to find out rulings with regards to matters of Islamic jurisprudence. She is the narrator of this hadith, and she says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that an army will try to attack and destroy Kaabatullah, that is the Kaaba. When they will reach an open ground, then Allah's azab will descend upon that army, and every one of them will be sucked into the earth. So as I mentioned, look at the intelligence of Aisha radiallahu anha, that inner wisdom which Allah Ta'ala gave her, that she asked an ajeeb question to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is the question? She says, I said, O Nabi of Allah, how is it that this entire army will be destroyed and sucked into the earth when obviously there will be traitors amongst them? And there will be some people who happen to be part of that group, but they were not motivated with the same objective. Obviously, when a huge army travels, then to see to their needs and requirements, you'll find bazaars taking place that are linked to that army. Some people may be joining them who are not linked to their actual purpose and object. So what is the question? The question is, how is it that Allah's azab will befall everyone? Because there are some people that want to attack Ka'batullah, I can understand they will be destroyed. But what about the people that happen to be there by chance or because of some other necessity? How is it that they are also being destroyed? So the response to this Rasulullah ﷺ gave is, he said that this entire army will be sucked into the earth. Then Allah Ta'ala on the day of judgment will raise them up according to their niyat and their intention. That is, if they had the wrong intention, then they will be taken to task for that. And if their intention was clean, then they will be exonerated in the hereafter. But we find from the meaning of this hadith, one very great warning is issued to us, that we have to be very, very concerned and careful about the type of company we keep. What is Rasulullah ﷺ saying? That when Allah's azab comes, then the sinners, they will be affected by the azab of Allah Ta'ala. But the people that they're keeping their company also. Muhallab rahmatullah alayhi used to say that if you keep the company of the sinners in order to increase their numbers or for whatever purpose, then you will invite the umumi azab of Allah Ta'ala upon you. In fact, this hadith is an explanation of one verse in the Quran wherein Allah Ta'ala says, وَاتَّقُوا فِتْنَةً لَا تُصِيبَنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْكُمْ خَاصًا. That fear, that trial and that test that will befall not only the zalimeen, not only those who are oppressors, but it will befall everyone. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Al-maru ala deeni khalilihi, that if you want to judge the character of a person, then see the company that he's keeping. One analogy is given in one hadith, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that if a person goes to the shop of a blacksmith, the blacksmith is a person who uses fire in order to soften steel, he works with steel. So obviously his shop is synonymous with heat. So he says, if you go to the shop of a blacksmith, even though you may not be working with steel, you'll still feel the heat. So in the same way, if you keep the company of people who are involved in Allah's disobedience, in haram, then just keeping their company will have its negative effect upon you. So this is why we have to be very, very, very careful at all times. What type of company are we keeping? Are we keeping company that is going to assist us in Allah's obedience? When azan is called out, will they go towards the masjid? Are they involved in Allah's ibadat? Or are we keeping such company that is making it easy for us to disobey Allah Ta'ala? Muhallab rahmatullah alayhi used to say that if you keep such company which makes it easy for you to disobey Allah Ta'ala, this is in fact a form of inviting the azab and the wrath of Allah Ta'ala. Second point about this hadith is that one prophecy of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is found here, that a time will come when an army will try to attack Baytullah, Allah will destroy them. When and where, these details are not found in the hadith, but we have to bring iman on the words of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah give us tawfiq. Subhanallah.